Tezang to Mase, Dungy Chung Sona. Dungy Chung Beck, Nazunga, Dungy, Manuya, avoid Chegu Yari. In a Dungy Chung Sona, that Dungy Kulamadan, crushing the crew. Burton got much in the check, Gahela. Gansna, Dungy Chung Sona, that Dick, Hazuri, Tando Yoshkania, any position Yawis.
Before suffering comes, it's important to engage in techniques to avoid it. But once suffering has started, it should not be taken as a burden, but as something that can assist you.
1, 2, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 1, 2, testing, 1, 1, 2, testing, 1, 1, 2, testing, 1, 1.
And another thought is that a suffering that is undergone and through undergoing a suffering in this lifetime, one can overcome the karma of ill deeds, many ill deeds accumulated in former lifetimes. And it helps you also to see the faults and disadvantages of cyclic existence. And as much as you see this, you'll develop a dislike for engaging in non-virtues. And it will help you to see the good qualities, advantages of liberation. And through your own experience of suffering, then you'll be able to infer what the suffering of others is, generating compassion. So when you think about suffering this way, it shows there is an opportunity, you feel there is an opportunity.
It becomes something you may feel almost like it's a good opportunity, you see, to practice more and to think more, isn't it? Like that.
Then effort. There's the effort of armor and so forth. Effort's very important. Armoring. The effort of armoring and so forth are instances of developing a willingness to engage in enthusiastic practice over aeons and aeons in order to bring about development. This helps tremendously to keep from getting irritated and excited because of some small condition, some small thing that happens. Then concentration. Then wisdom. That's it for this class session. Today is, perhaps you know that today is my birthday, and right now after this, there's going to be some sort of ceremony. From the point of view of a practitioner, a birthday and an ordinary day are on the same level. One day passes.
Like that.
Happy birthday to
you. Thank you very much.
What are the karmic consequences of a woman after conscientious consideration choosing to have an abortion? In the first case, before having received the teachings, and in the second case, after having received the teachings. What are the karmic consequences? What is the difference? The question seems to be that in the first instance, the person didn't know the fault of abortion and had an abortion. When a faulty deed has already been done, there's not much one can do about that, but then one can engage in disclosure and develop an intention not to do that action again in the future. And then in the case of a person who has an abortion after having received the teaching? After receiving teaching, then it would be unsuitable to have an abortion, I guess. If there isn't any other reason, then it's said to be worse to do something within knowledge of it. What are your Holiness's views on abortion when severe handicap has been medically detected in the embryo? It is difficult to speak to these in general without considering specific cases. It seems that there might be situations in which if the child is going to be severely handicapped and will be undergoing great suffering, that an abortion might be possible. But in general, abortion is the taking of life and is not suitable. The main thing is one's motivation. What advice can you give to those of us who have had an abortion and who are currently practicing the Dharma? If that was already answered in the first part. This one? Switch on the hall microphone? This one? Is it better now? No. You can't hear anything. So, this little microphone is for the TV, isn't it? Video? And it's on red. Is that correct? Does it help if I...
Okay.
If I'm closer?
What is it?
In the West, there is a growing problem of drug... In the West, there is a growing problem. How's that? Okay? That's the speaker. Speaker is off.
I think something wrong there.
Yeah. Can you hear back there? Good, thanks. In the West, there is a growing problem of drug and alcohol dependence. Does His Holiness have any advice as to how those afflicted can help themselves or be helped by those around them? Yes, and other kinds of drugs.
But, Tamatanga, on the drug side of the Chinese, Shiva, Jimaranzu, Tribe led the way. The Tribe and the Shiva Chaviore, right? The Dingle Tribe.
When one takes drugs, one's mind comes under the influence of error, of mistake, and then one then would be acting within
error.
So thus it's something that isn't needed, right?
And
it would seem that it would be difficult in a situation for a person, say, who was drinking in order to get happier or to get out of depression and didn't have any other technique to get out of depression. I know several people who have had drug problems who through Buddhism have found other ways to adjust and transform their mind and have been able to give up alcohol and drugs. Your Holiness, could you say something about euthanasia? That means ending another person's life because of his or her suffering. This can be done in two ways, either by withholding treatment or by giving an active drug which kills the person in a few minutes. In general, let's see, again, there must be some exceptions, but in general, what we're undergoing is due to our own karma, due to our own actions in the past, and we have to accept to undergo that which our own karma has impelled us to undergo. One has to, first of all, do whatever one can to avoid extreme suffering. And then if it's a case where no matter what you do, it won't help at all, then one needs to identify the particular situation. Last time Your Holiness talked of... Last time Your Holiness talked about subtle consciousness continuing as a stream from one lifetime to the next. But after liberation takes place, what happens to this stream of consciousness at the time of death? Does it continue? The subtlest level of consciousness proceeds to and through Buddhahood. Thus it's something that is never extinguished. Many of us so enjoy living that we cannot imagine wanting to escape it. So some aspects of Buddhist philosophy seem unduly depressing. Could His Holiness please comment? This is a case of the person's not understanding the various levels of suffering that are set forth in the Buddhist teaching. But if you're happy, that's okay. To what extent does the concept of a creator God prevent us as Buddhists from working and practicing alongside other religions?
God creator
Given the fact that sentient beings are of such different dispositions, there indeed are beings who are for whom a creator God is a very helpful theory, and thus you shouldn't make trouble for yourself worrying about working alongside such a person.
As I always express, you see, there are quite a number of people who, how to say, who reach, how to say, really, you see, selfishless state, kind of selfishless state.
Mm-hmm. State without selfishness.
So now that is the sort of, you see, I think proof that different teaching bring that kind of, you see, nice result. So if we look at, you see, the result, then it will grow respect for various different religions.
I have read about the Buddhist teaching of selflessness, which is often translated as no soul. His Holiness spoke this morning about the subtlest continuum of consciousness being that which passes from one birth to another, and that which is the inheritor of karma. Is there any essential difference between the subtle consciousness and the Christian concept of soul? Leaving aside, of course, the question of reincarnation, which Orthodox Christian teaching does not accept.
On the soul side, conditionally, the definition of the cell of the condition.
I'm wondering what the what in Christianity is a clear definition of what soul is. Previously, or from time of yore in India, there are systems of tenets that assert a self, Atma, and describe that self as being permanent, unitary, and independent. That type of self is not asserted in Buddhism. Buddhism asserts selflessness. So first of all, it's necessary to determine the meaning of soul. How can one overcome strong fear of unkindness and hostile attitude of people that I experienced since I was very young? As I was saying earlier, if you cultivate an attitude of cherishing others more than yourself, this gradually helps more and more.
Then it takes time. It will take time. And the next time you're constant,
and if it constantly causes discomfort for you, then it's better to try to stop thinking about that topic. Your Holiness, please teach us briefly on the power of smiling.
나사카시 드려 말해. 나사카시 게임샤샤 되는 나사.
어.
나사 주는 영어네. 응. 나사 주는 영어지. But a certain illness which makes us 따바르시 게임샤르시 되기.
어. There's a certain illness, hebephrenia, that makes you laugh all the time.
지금 배가 나오지 우리다.
Tibetans in general are
I think.
Sort of happy people, jovial people.
Besides that, I don't know what kind of secret I don't know.
What do you think of a Buddhist who does not believe in karma or rebirth? This is something that does need to be considered. Whether or not one is a Buddhist is determined by whether one asserts the three jewels of Buddha, his doctrine and the spiritual community as a pure as pure sources of refuge.
I think something except without much sort of thinking. You see,
But there would be cases of people who hadn't paid much attention to things like former and later births and karma and so forth.
Now I think you see some of you see Western people who think more about this line. Then is it advance already? Namsan tagata,
yeah.
Namsan kelly motivated yung guru. Skeptical kang kaya tadi.
There would be people who immediately couldn't accept it and would remain skeptical.
Yes. Meantime, you see, sort of you see high regard to Buddha and his teaching and sangha. 그래서나.
So you might say this is a person who's about to become a Buddhist. There indeed are such
people.
Although there wouldn't be Buddhists who asserted a permanent, partless, independent self, there would be Buddhists who wouldn't immediately accept selflessness. How is it possible to practice the Dharma while living among people who do not, for instance, one's wife or husband or family? How can you practice the Dharma? If you're living with somebody who does not practice it.
That is true. So she didn't want to double him, don't they ask him to?
The Dharma is to be practiced individually. There's no necessity to recite texts, for instance, together. Often a Westerner following Tibetan Buddhist practice has difficulty with traditional forms, such as in the practice of deity yoga, and may find himself or herself asking, what am I doing with all these foreign Tibetan images? How does one remedy this problem? Do you feel that these forms will change as Tibetan Buddhism takes root in the West? Deity yoga is going to be explained right after the question period. What is your advice to an ordinary Westerner who is working, who wants to follow through completely the Tibetan Buddhist practices without becoming either a monk or following a three-year retreat? As I was saying earlier, a person should remain in Western, persons should remain in Western society carrying out their own profession, being a good person in the society, and then internally carry on their analysis and practice.
Now you see, daily life, you see, go office or in every, you see, field of work, go there and return, then maybe it's worthwhile to sacrifice some of what called the as of late evening entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and go to sleep. Well, a bit too early, go to sleep. Then next morning, you see, get up as early as possible, or I would say, getting up early, and then some, you see, meditation or something, some analyze yourself. Then take a good breakfast and go slowly in your office or in any factory. Go like that. Yes, I think I feel that's the, that I think you can do.
What are the rungs?
Then you see, occasionally, say, you see, if you have enough money, then go the Buddhist countries. That's a few weeks, go around here and there and see. I think that may be the practical as well as I think good.
What are the Rangdong and Shendong? Rangdong and Shendong. What are the Rangdong and Shendong schools of thought? This is going to be coming later. How can we understand emptiness very simply without getting into too much intellectualized philosophy? How can it be understood the simple way? Isn't what I've been talking about for the past few days rather easy? This idea that when sought under analysis, objects are not found, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It just means that they lack inherent existence. How does altruism and emptiness, realization of emptiness, unite in our practice? How does altruism and the theory of emptiness come together in our practice? The Bodhisattva practices are the means of accumulating the collections of merit, and they should be done. In Sutrayana, the Bodhisattva practices are the means of accumulating the collection of merit, and these practices should be done within the influence of the realization of the view of emptiness. Similarly, when one reflects on emptiness and the reasonings proving emptiness and so forth, this should be done within the influence of the compassionate mind.
Huh?
How do we help someone who is dying? What do we say to the dying person? The most important thing is not to cause disturbance in the mind of the person who's dying. And then it's important to engage in some technique to help the person to remember some virtuous religious practice with which the person is familiar. And for somebody who doesn't accept the practice of any religion, it's important to help that person to die within a peaceful, relaxed attitude. The reason for this is that, as I was explaining the other day in relation to the 12 members of dependent arising, the type of attachment and grasping that one has near the time of death are extremely important in relation to how one is going to be reborn in the next lifetime. Because near the time of death, one's mindfulness, one's power of alertness and so forth deteriorate. At that time, there is no sense at all in attempting to force another person to practice something that that person is not used to. Thus, the most important thing is to try to remind the person of a practice that's appropriate to his or her own level. And indeed, there will be many different levels. People who would be capable of thinking about emptiness, people who would be capable of generating an altruistic attitude, people who would be capable of generating a mind of deity yoga. And engage in practice of the winds. And then even of the practice of the exalted wisdom of an undifferentiable bliss and emptiness. There's the practice also of transference of consciousness. As mentioned earlier, within the context of this altruism, the practices for maturing one's own continuum are the six perfections, and the practices for maturing others are the four ways of gathering students. Among the six perfections, each of the later ones is more difficult to achieve and is more important than the earlier ones. Then the last two are concentration and wisdom.
다 된다 될래야 단 도장장 터네 신부인은 땅 안에서 가소래 지단다 탈바투비아가 맨날 남지 창조 소주 엔 당내 신기 지 태신기 남기 전주 선배 남라 위드잖아 안서 뭔가 되게 나러려야 다 남으로 다 먹고 싶어도 와
In terms of the sutra vehicle, there are the 37 harmonies of enlightenment for the sake of achieving liberation. And as in Maitreya's ornament for clear realization, there are many variations of paths for the sake of achieving Buddhahood. For all of these, the root is the meditative stabilization, which is a union of a calm abiding of the mind and special
insight.
And as a means for achieving quickly and in a powerful way, this meditative stabilization, which is a union of calm abiding and meditative stabilization, there comes to be the mantric or tantric vehicle. In secret mantra, there are the four tantra sets. The general mode of procedure of the three lower tantras is roughly the same, although between them there are differences in distinctive methods. In the perfection vehicle, the root of one's practice is the altruistic intention to become enlightened and the view of the emptiness of inherent existence. Now, the greatness of secret mantra comes by way of secret, by way of meditative stabilization. Thus, it is even said that the scriptures of secret mantra are included in the sets of discourses. So then how is it that the secret mantra vehicle comes to be distinctive and have a more profound way of enhancing the meditative stabilization, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight.
That's why Jimmy, Maranza, the same gigi that me you the Lamis Ozang Covanti. That Lamis Ozang Covantelea, Randon Chubu the Shendu, Ni Sherenane.
Now, from one point of view, with the altruistic intention to become enlightened, one is aiming at a Buddhahood that has a truth body that is the fulfillment of one's own welfare, and a form body that is the fulfillment of others' welfare. And between these two, one is more specifically aiming at the form bodies in order to be of assistance to others.
So shandun sugu di ene chanda peja ki gen denge ki ta sugu shiche tenda di dhubiya tela ene chanju gu simgi simbe ta ne jinso gi sonam gu so sakwa chigo mahimba ta parishin tekwa ni sheshebe jinso gi kandaji sonam gu so sikzu teza mahimba debu yodan gu teta namba tunbe ene namba tunbe lamju gomba yina di ko chik simli ya gaso le ya 즉 타니어 신, 와, 쓰는 타니어 신이 그 누구의 두기야래.
Now the form bodies, or the form, let's see, the form bodies have a Buddha's form bodies have the major marks and beauties of a Buddha's body, and one seeks to achieve to develop this type of body in the perfection vehicle, that is to say, in the sutra system. By way of practicing these six perfections, conjoined or under the influence of great compassion and the altruistic intention to become enlightened, then if in addition to that, one engages in a technique that is similar in aspect to the type of form body one is trying to achieve, then that is the distinctive feature of mantra. What one is practicing in is concordant in aspect with the fruit that one is trying to achieve.
Then the detail, Sangha ke sabje chik di thakshe ngo yemi ke nanjo shegi yare.
Thus, in the context of this, one of the distinctive features of the secret mantra vehicle is an indivisibility of entity of method and wisdom. In the perfection vehicle of the, that is to say, in the sutra system, wisdom is conjoined with or influenced by method, and method is influenced or conjoined with wisdom. The two are not presented as existing in the entity of one consciousness, however. But then how is it that in mantra there comes to be an indivisibility of entity, of method and wisdom? In mantra, there is the practice of deity yoga in which one observes or takes cognizance, imagines a divine body. This being in the class of vast appearances, compassionate vast appearances, and through this the collection of merit is accumulated. That very same consciousness ascertains the emptiness of inherent existence of that deity body and so forth, and thereby one accumulates the collection of wisdom. It is through this way that in one consciousness there is the indivisible factor of method and wisdom, in that although method and wisdom are still separable conceptually, they are there in the entity of one consciousness.